away we go with hour number three of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, just hours away from the kickoff of the football weekend. Yes, we do have NFL football on the television this evening, an AFC showdown in the AFC East between Josh Allen,
yeah,
and his Buffalo Bills taking on Mike McDaniel, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and the Miami Dolphins. Then we got football tomorrow. Then we got football Saturday, which, of course, football Saturday opens up with college football game day. We all get up very, very early, and we turn on Reese and Dez and Pat and the boys. And this week, a very special edition of college football game day that will be emanating, really overexcited, from the state capital of the Palmetto State, Columbia, South Carolina. The Cola is where game day will broadcast from, ahead of a noon kickoff between the Gamecocks of South Carolina and the Fighting Tigers of LSU. And to discuss that football game, joining us now on the show, she is a reporter for the Greenville News who covers the Gamecocks of South Carolina over in the Cola. Her second time on the show, I expect she'll be, hey, they always say the most improvement you'll see a team make is from week one to week two. It is week two of Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Good morning, Lulu. How the heck are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Spectacular. Lulu, we have football on tonight. We have football on tomorrow. We have football on Saturday. We have football on Sunday. We have football on Monday. Anybody who's not doing great right now needs a therapist. Well, I mean, I probably still do, but I'm still happy.
That's fair. Yeah, it's quite a game tonight. I'm a Bills fan, sort of.
Oh,
so go Bills.
Lonzo,
I don't know if I can say that.
Lonzo hates Josh Allen. He thinks Josh Allen stinks.
Oof. Well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
She said, oof.
I just think he gets way too much media attention for the talent. But he played well this week with no receivers. So maybe he could prove me wrong.
Yeah, well, hopefully he does.
I think we get some hero ball tonight, Lulu. I'm taking the Bills to cover the spread. I don't know if I'm taking an outright win, but Miami didn't look great in week one. And any game that you put Josh Allen's back against the wall, he ends up popping off for a couple of touchdowns. I think you're in a game tonight.
I think you're right. I agree with your assessment there for sure.
All right, let's turn our attention to the college football weekend. As we mentioned, college game day over in Columbia. I want to get to the game itself here in a minute, Lulu, but I've said a couple of times this week, I think this is a massive opportunity, right? We've looked at Florida State, team built through the transfer portal, and it has gone real south real quick. Getting kids to come sign for you out of high school, building your core around kids who want to be there is big. To me, college game day feels like a real opportunity for Columbia. It's been a decade since the last time that college football's biggest platform and show has been in the Cola. I have said all week, I think it is massively important for Columbia to put on a hell of a show for game day so that recruits see that there is something special going on in Columbia, South Carolina. What is the feeling around the Cola right now about having Pat and Reese and the gang doing their show from right outside of Willie B?
Totally. And I will confess, oddly enough, I missed media on Tuesday because I was in Washington, D.C. at the White House with the women's basketball team.
We'll let that fly as an excuse, Lulu.
Yeah, I have a valid excuse there, I think. But upon returning to Columbia, you could genuinely just tell, like, the atmosphere was a little different. Like, not to be totally cheesy, but just the energy, the smiles on people's faces, like, you could sort of already tell that it's going to be a big weekend. I think the LSU game and the noon kick already was sort of this early season kind of huge game, a Saturday for especially a lot of these college freshmen at South Carolina. And now that you add game day to it, I mean, Beamer yesterday talked about, was talking about how when he was at Virginia Tech his senior year, college game day featured Virginia Tech when they were in their undefeated season. And it's just an experience. Like, all these players on South Carolina, I imagine, grew up watching the show, and now they're being featured, and all these college football fans. So, like you said, it hasn't happened since 2014, 10 years ago. And I think it's a good time for Columbia to be showcased and for some high-end energy to be brought into the city for sure.
All right, let's talk about this. How do you transition that into the game because, yeah, it's an LSU team that's good. It's an LSU team that's considered a playoff threat. It's also an LSU team that lost their opener to a USC team that I don't think we know how good they are yet. We're going to find out. It's also an LSU team that allowed Nichols State to hang around for about 2.5 quarters before they finally broke away. So what's the mindset with the team from Baton Rouge coming to COLA? I saw earlier that Chris Doering from Sirius said he believes there's not a guy in the locker room that has anything but victory on the brain this weekend. What is the vibe around the team getting ready for LSU?
I think that looking at this LSU game, it really comes down to mentality way more than anything else. And I know people might disagree with that, but exactly to your question, this is all about can South Carolina handle success? Can South Carolina step up? Obviously, we saw somewhat of a disappointing performance against Old Dominion, some would say. I mean, it didn't seem like anyone on South Carolina walked in week one thinking it was going to be a cakewalk. I think they took Old Dominion seriously. But then they become kind of the underdog against Kentucky. They're sort of, as Shane Beamer said, like disrespected throughout the week. He talked a lot about how it was like perception, not reality, which, you know, it is what it is in that regard. But more so now, it's like, okay, they're coming off this huge, quote-unquote, underdog win where they really took care of Kentucky on all levels. Now they're in the national spotlight. Can they rise to the occasion? Beamer sort of said it's a huge test. Can they handle success the right way? Can they handle distractions the right way? Can they handle the fact that they're not just talking to me and other local media? They're now being interviewed by ESPN days before the game. So it's a young team. Beamer says it's a mature team. So I think we'll really have to see how well some of those veteran leaders guide maybe the younger guys through the emotional and mental process of all of this. Because I do truly think Saturday comes down to the fact of will LSU's historic dominance prevail, which, you know, might not necessarily show on paper through two games this season, or will South Carolina continue on this upward trend and rise to the occasion?
It's really interesting because the word that I've used about this game a number of times is consistency, right? Like I need consistency. I wanted consistency in week one from Old Dominion, from what South Carolina had and the good vibes coming out of the offseason camp. I wanted consistent. I actually wanted better against Kentucky. We got it. And now the question is, can you take what you did and do it against a team that I do think is better than Kentucky? I do think it's probably a little bit more well-coached than Kentucky, has more talent on paper. If I asked you for the two or three things you think are most important to be consistent from the Kentucky game to this LSU game, what would you put on the list?
I would probably say starting on the consistent trend, I think Lenoris needs to continue to see the field as I won't say as well as he did against Kentucky, but I felt like it was a night and day difference. You kind of saw him escape the pocket and still, like, that play that he found Mazio Bennett on third down, I think really represented, like, okay, he's learning, he's growing. So I think that sort of his ability to both be a just eyes up passing quarterback, but also still be able to kind of run if necessary and escape if the O-line maybe is a little bit leaky. And I honestly think that Shane naming Mazio Bennett and Jared Brown, like, quote unquote, the top two receivers, I think that consistency needs to continue. I think receivers need to expect that Sellers or Dowell Loggins will aim to throw the ball a lot. And I think that if they don't expect a lot of passes, then it's going to be a nightmare. If they're sort of like, oh, this is going to be a run game, obviously they'll know the scheme going in. But I more so mean I think they need to play as confident, as comfortable as they did against Kentucky. And I also think self-inflicted errors are still sort of an issue. Less penalties, but sort of just the little fixable moments that Beamer mentions a lot in practice, just negative yardage and kind of one step forward, three steps back type thing. You know, they make a good play on third down and then they kind of can't convert. So those type of things, I think I probably named a lot of things in that sense, but three things looking at that, I would say those are the three that really will impact how the LSU game goes.
Lulu Kessin here on the Rob Brown Show, and the Fan Upstate covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. Talk to me, if you don't mind, a little bit about Matteo Bennett. That's a kid that's from around our parts down here in Greenville. Got a chance to watch him as a high school player a little bit. He was dealing with some injuries last year, so didn't get to see him all season long. But the times I did, I mean, he very clearly stood out as a special talent. Looks to me like it was always going to take him a little time to find his footing, find his role in this offense. Has he, as a player in the last couple of weeks, has he been put on notice? Has he put everybody else on notice that he's ready to become a big part of this offense?
100%. And it was kind of funny because after the first scrimmage, I want to say it was the first scrimmage, Beamer in his press conference, because the scrimmages aren't open to media. So he talks to us, but we have no idea what he just saw. And he was like, Matteo Bennett is going to play a lot this year. And all of us were kind of like, okay, like true freshman, we'll take your word for it, but really hadn't seen Matteo in practice a lot. And then he scores his first touchdown against Kentucky. It was, I believe, Sellers' first passing touchdown of the season. That probably felt good to kind of get him to relax. But Beamer talked about how great his parents are, the family he comes from. He praises Matteo kind of any chance he gets. So I think he will continue to play a lot and impact this offense as long as he continues to sort of step up to the plate, because it kind of same vein, like, will he continue to rise to the occasion after, you know, and any true freshman's technically an underdog. So you kind of have your back against the wall. And then once you prove yourself, it's sort of how do you continue to prove yourself when you're given that opportunity?
Lenora Sellers obviously had a more consistent game last week, but it felt to me, and I know you kind of hit on this a minute ago, Lulu, but I wanted to revisit it. It felt to me last week like he was getting a bit more comfortable with being a passing quarterback. It felt like he was getting more comfortable staying in the pocket and not, you know, if read one is shut down, immediately wanting to pull the ball and go to the legs. Have you seen that? Did you see that against Kentucky? I know he had to check out of the game for a little while with an injury before he made his way back, but talk to me about, in your opinion, the growth and development of Lenora Sellers.
Yeah, so that I actually focused a lot this week, because what really impressed me was that, I mean, I can only speak from it from a basketball perspective, but when you're like having a bad game, the ball won't go in the hoop, and then you just make a foul shot and you're like, okay, I saw it go in. I felt like in a way when Matteo caught that first touchdown, Lenora's could kind of be like, ha, like I took a breath. It wasn't just a rushing touchdown. Like, I can score both passing and running the ball. And then he gets injured, which I think I would argue like was one of the most mature moments he's shown so far this season. And I know it's been only two games so far, but he finally gets in rhythm. He's finally connecting with his receivers, and then he gets hurt. He's taken out for nearly 10 minutes. He has to watch the backup go in, which I know Robbie Ashford and Lenoris have a really great relationship, and the way that they speak of each other and Beamer speaks of the relationship is just nothing but praise and good vibes. However, in game two on the road, you don't want to see the backup go in. You don't want to go to the locker room. So I think the fact that Lenoris didn't get totally rattled by that situation was what really showed me as a reporter, like, okay, he's making those jumps. He's making a correction. He's impressing other people. He's not just running the ball. He's not just taking the sack. He's looking to extend the play even when he has hands in his face. And I think if he continues to sort of showcase that rapid growth, that's the Lenora Sellers that I think people are really going to start to see. I didn't think the talk week one was that he was going to come out and put up a 6-touchdown game or whatever it was. Like, yeah, he showcased his arm against Furman in 2023, but I think the Lenoris that I learned based on talking to his family and his coaches was that he's going to learn really quickly, and he's going to try not to make the same mistake twice. And having a quarterback with that mentality, I think, is really valuable.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News here on the Rob Brown Show. Last one, Lulu, we'll let you get back to it as we get set up for LSU at South Carolina this Saturday. Let's make this one open-ended for you. South Carolina upsets LSU if blank.
if Dylan Stewart and Kyle Kinnard win the battle against two of the best offensive tackles in Will Campbell and Emory Jones, for sure.
I think that's a great answer. Those two guys have been freakish this year. I was watching last week. Kentucky was trying to triple team Dylan off the edge, and he was still getting to the quarterback. That kid is a freak.
Absolutely insane. Like, I've watched that specific play that you're talking about so many times. Just, like, genuinely fights through triple team with ease. But still, Kyle Kinnard has 3.5 sacks this season. Like, he leads. It's just the elite duo they have, and I think it works so well, too, with Stewart being a true freshman and Kinnard being a veteran transfer. And, like, I've asked a little bit about their relationship and everything. Like, they just want to be better. They want to, like, root for each other. They want to win together. They want to succeed together. I heard Kinnard walk into the opposing team stadium to Kroger Field last week and say how much he loved playing in someone else's stadium. Like, those two clearly love stepping up to the occasion. They've proven that. And I think they genuinely will be one of the most important factors to Saturday's win or loss.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. You can find her on X at Lulu Kessin, LuluKessin. She will be covering this game throughout the weekend and will rejoin us a week from today. Actually, we'll not, because I'll be down in Florida getting married. But we'll check back in the week after that with Lulu with the results of this game and the next. Lulu, you are the best. Thank you very much. We will talk to you very soon.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here. And, yeah, Saturday will be super fun.
Looking forward to it. I'll be following alongside on Twitter at Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. We appreciate her time as always. Let's run to a break when we come back here in a minute. Got a few things I want to run through, including your audio blitz. Rashad Beard joins us at 8:40. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, we're going to run through a couple of sound bites here. We got Rashad Beard coming up here in about 13 minutes. So we'll do about half of the audio blitz here. We'll do another half of it at the 9 o'clock hour. Let's start with this. Yesterday, we played you a couple of clips from Jordan Mason. Of course, Jordan Mason is the running back for the San Francisco 49ers that played in place of Christian McCaffrey during the Monday Night Football Conference. Right after the game was over, Jordan Mason was asked, when did he find out he was going to start? And he said this. Friday night. Then he was asked in the postgame presser to clarify that, because San Francisco didn't announce that he was going to start until about an hour, less than an hour before the game, and it led to a somewhat awkward moment. And that's fair. That's fair, although I would say to Jordan Mason, nobody was upset with you, bud. Nobody's upset at you. Nobody's mad at you. You didn't say anything wrong. Well, Kyle Shanahan was asked about it yesterday, and I made the point. I said, look, here, you want to know what I bet happened? What I bet happened was Jordan Mason got told on Friday, hey, be prepared. You may have to start Monday. You may get the start. Be prepared. Be ready as if you're going to start. And he just read it the wrong way. Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the 49ers, said, that's basically it. All right, so, well, didn't give. Sorry, meant to clip that last part out. But you get it. It's basically, like I said, that's what I expected happened, and that's what happened. They were trying to gas him up, saying they might need him. He might have to get the start, and that is what happened. Hey, there's a college football game coming up at 7:30 on Saturday. The Colorado State Rams hosting the Colorado Buffaloes. Colorado State, a 7-point dog against Buffalo. Now, as I've said before, that is mainly because a lot of the betting public are idiots. For some reason, they're still backing Colorado. The Rams are my upset pick of the week. Why? Well, because I think they're just, after a year, going to know the team better. But also because they got guys on this team like Braden Fowler Nicolosi and Torrey Horton, a pair of players who were on this team last year when they played Colorado in a phenomenal game, who say they got a little something-something. You better back the hell up, Shador.
Okay, was that Matt Riddle?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I get the vibe, though.
I mean, you know, bro.
I love this. I don't give a rip about your millions of Instagram followers. This is football. It's you 11 versus us 11, LFG. I love that clip. I love that. And I'm going to tell you, I've kind of circled all the way back around. I'm off Team Dion. I'm still going to wear my blenders because, let's be real, I look real good in them. I'm still going to rock the glasses.
Yeah, my wife went online and was looking at those. Like, nah, I can't do that.
I'm going to warn you, they're narrow.
And that's what I said. Those don't work for me.
They're narrow. They definitely bend out a little on the side of my, apparently, gigantic head.
I don't understand. Why would you warn me of that? Why is that a concern for me, Rob?
Because us big-headed dudes got to stick together, great one.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. Those of us that had to have the custom football helmets, we got to stick together.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
They had to order my helmet special. I couldn't just go get one out of the equipment room. They had to order my helmet.
It was extra long. It was like a...
Well, I got this giraffe neck, apparently. Yeah, I got a saggy ass, a giraffe neck, and a bowling ball of a head is what I've learned about myself in the last 3 weeks.
Did you have a neck roll?
No, I did not.
That probably would have helped if you had a neck roll.
I didn't play...
Those look pretty sweet in the 80s. I don't know why they went out. They look pretty cool.
They did. They did. Xavier Leggett talked out about the L to the Saints and what he wants to do and see moving forward. I'm gonna allow it. I really just wanted to have Xavier Leggett talk on the show. That's all. I just want more clips. Said ain't nothing matter to me until we get that W, which that's how fans feel. They're wrong, but that's how fans feel. Hey, you know who we should talk about this with? Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. We'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on, wrapping up hour number 3 of this 4-hour Sports Talk Radio extravaganza. Rob Brown, the great man Lonzo, and joining us now as he does every single Thursday at this time. Sometimes he wants to, sometimes, I don't know, we'll find out here in a minute. He don't. Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast, which you can follow on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go find them on YouTube. Make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you hit that bell icon. Because they go live like a lot of the time, including right now. Shout out to the PNP Army rolling up here on the Rob Brown Show heavy this AM. And we're about to see how everybody's feeling after your future first ballot Hall of Famer Derek Carr went off for 3 tutties in this game. 47-10 in the week 1 contest. Rashad Beard, I am terrified that I'm going to be the only person optimistic about Carolina here, but we'll find out. How we feeling, fella?
Yeah, shocked, honestly. When watching the game, I was a little shocked, embarrassed. You know, it was not the way we want to start the season. I think that, you know, a lot of Panther fans are okay with losing. We're okay with taking the L. It's how you take that L, and I think that's what's really bothering a lot of Panther fans right now. You know, we expect it to be better. We expect it to look better. There's certain aspects of the game that have looked better. There's certain things that have not or have progressed. And so as a fan base, you know, we just want to see some progress, man. It doesn't take much to impress us right now. And unfortunately, things went the opposite way. And I can speak for most of Panther fans. We're kind of shell-shocked right now. We did not expect that. We just did not expect that kind of performance. And shout out to Derek Carr. I mean, he looks like the used car is repaired. He went to a nice little service center. He looked good out there. He looked good. I can't even hate.
So let me tell you the way I approach this for the Carolina Panthers and see if I can get you on board or if you're going to tell me to bleep off to another dimension with my positivity, all right? But here's where I took it. Yeah, you want to see progression. Yeah, you want to see optimism. Everybody does. Even the Kansas City Chiefs fans want to see that right now for sure. But I don't think it has been expressed how new this team is, right? Like, you want to see progression from what? From last year where you got a head coach fired 8 weeks into the season, had an interim guy come in, from a team last year that had three-fifths of the offensive line at a different spot or on a different team, from a spot where last year's one receiver is now number three, your one receiver this year comes as a number two from another team last year, your number three or two receiver this year was your number four last year, and your number four this year was a college player last year. The only thing that's the same that could have progressed from last year to this year was your running back crew, and you knew where the resources went this offseason. It was to fixing the offense, not the defense. So you knew that was going to be a challenge this year. I really think that, and obviously hindsight's 20/20, but if you go back and you look at week one as a new starting point and not a continuation of 2023 into 2024, at least you can find some optimism that the jump from week one to week two will be there. I'd be more concerned if you get your ass run out of the building by the Chargers this weekend than I am about what happened in New Orleans.
Yeah, Rob, I got to be honest with you. All that sounded great. But when you're sitting in the situation we're in, dealing with what we've been dealing with the past 6 years, it's hard not to merge these years together. It's hard to deal with that. It's hard to look at this squad come out here week in and week out and just look. This game looked like the 19th game of last year, right? It looked like a continuation of last season, right? All that changed, it looks like a lot stayed the same. And that's what's frustrating. And again, I'm trying my best. And again, it's really difficult as a fan that's been dealing with that. You try your best to allow Kanellis to do his thing, right? It's not fair to him to kind of levy those expectations on him. He is a new coach, but at the same time, we got to see some progress, man. Again, I don't care about the win or the loss. I need to see progression inside the game. That's what my biggest thing is. And we did see the offensive line did play well. And that's what's concerning is that, you know, you start and I don't know if we're going to go into Bryce Young specifically, but you're starting to peel those layers away and those excuses away from Bryce Young. Right. The offensive line is played really well. If we look at the PFF grades after every game. And we haven't seen a performance like that from an offensive line in years. We prayed for performances like that from the offensive line. And we get that performance from the offensive line, giving up less than 10 pressures, and we get still blown out. So there's some things that are looking better, but those, again, the excuses, the wide receiver core looks better, but you got to hit the guy. So Bryce he's got to get better, man. He's just really got to get better. So I don't know if we're going to get in that discussion, but yeah, there's a lot of things that need to get better.
We are going to get in that discussion. Rashad, I'm so glad you brought it up. You're a damn professional is what you are. Let's talk about it because I made the mistake of getting into the cesspool that was Panthers subreddit on Sunday night after the game. And the majority of the posts were, that's it. I was a BY defender, but I'm out. Guys, and this has been my point, man. Nick Saban said during the first episode of Hard Knocks about Caleb Williams, biggest mistake you make is when you throw a rookie out there in year number one with elevated expectations on him. I think you did that to BY. And then you talk about what happened with Frank Reich. And then you talked about what happened with Chris Tabor at the end of the year. And then you talked about going into technically Bryce Young's third head coach. My man's played 1 year. He's on his third head coach, his third offensive coordinator at this point. Like, yeah, I'm not the guy that's going to go, oh, there's no more excuses. Yeah, the hell there are, bud. His starting wide receiver, first time he's worked with this guy, his blanket last year in Adam Thielen, is now a slot wide receiver that's more a coverage guy than a run him open kind of guy. Like, I don't understand why everybody expected this guy to come out and go with 100 QBR in game number one.
Fair. But when all of the things that you're good at, you're supposed to be good at, you're not really looking that great in, that's a problem. That's a red flag for me. You know, the processing, all these things that he was supposed to be great. And again, I'm not trying to dogpile on Bryce. I think there's time to get this thing figured out, right? There's time to get better this year, right? Within this year, there's time to get better. But time is ultimately going to run out. And listen, Kanellis is not going to put his eggs in the Bryce Young basket if it's not going to go well. He has the opportunity to get his quarterback, right? So, again, do I think Bryce can be salvaged? I hope so. Please don't get me – please get understand what I'm saying. I hope that Bryce Young is the guy. I hope we don't have to move on and draft another quarterback. I hope and pray that that's the case. But things are not – we got to call a spade a spade. It did not look good yesterday. You can go back, look at the QB school from JT O'Sullivan. Great job breaking down the QBs. It's not pretty. It's not. I mean, we have to call a spade at some point. So, Rob, my question to you is, all that you said is great, and you're right. But at what point do you say, okay, he might not be that guy?
I don't know, bro, but it ain't the end of 1 week.
I agree. There's time. I agree with you. But you also have to look at the writing on the wall. Things, he has to, at some point, he has to start looking better. Let's just say, can we agree on that?
Sure.
Okay. So I asked the same question Monday after this. Should you be looking towards the draft? And I don't see why you can't. I mean, because if you, I know it's one game, but right now that number one pick is looking like that might be happening. So if you're looking at the draft right now, and I know it's early, you got to be thinking quarterback. And is there a quarterback in college right now that would be better than how Bryce is playing right now?
It's a rough QB class. We'll see how it plays out. But ultimately, again, I don't want to get too far ahead in saying we need to draft the quarterback. I know in my emotional state on Sunday, I probably did say that. I'm going to walk that back. And I don't want to go that far, but I will say this. And I'm trying to be objective and I'm trying not to be emotional. Bryce, he has time to get this thing figured out. Let's be clear on that.
He does.
He has to be better, though. We have to see some improvement. And again, I do think Canales will have the opportunity and the right to get his – that's how this thing works. He's not going to go down with the Bryce ship. If it's not working out, he's going to cut ties. So, and again, Bryce has a full season to get this thing turned around. I will back Bryce Young in that.
I think that's what I'm asking. And Rashad, there's a couple of other things that we talked about. I'm not gonna do what I did earlier. But PFF put up I'm a big graph guy. I'm a big dork. Everything's data.
Be glad you didn't see the graph.
Brought up the graph.
Man, it was riveting.
PFF pulled up the graph. All right, big graph guy over here. They went with the graph where they showed the average amount of separation per targeted receiver, the guys that you elect to throw to. And Bryce Young had, and I'm actually looking at it, so I'll just describe it without pulling it up. There were, in the entire NFL in week one, there were four teams that had a starting quarterback with a lower accuracy at targeted receivers than Bryce Young. Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Daniel Jones, Deshaun Watson, sorry, there's five, and Anthony Richardson. There were three teams that had less average separation than Bryce Young. The receiver core is upgraded. We all agree with that. Nobody's going to push back. Deontay Johnson's a big ad. Adam Thielen going back to the slot. That's my favorite thing. We're all waiting because I think we saw some flashes out of Xavier that he's going to be a good four. Maybe a little shaky at the two. Maybe Xavier that moves into the two. We'll find out. You were also up against Rashad, and I'll toot the horn here. I think the best defensive back unit in the NFC South. I think probably one of the best two or three defensive back units in the NFC, maybe the NFL as a whole. I don't know. I'm not saying Bryce doesn't have to be better. He absolutely does, for sure. But you put him up against the D-line that's anchored by Jordan and Young. Those are two very good defensive ends, and the weak spots on your defensive line or your offensive line are the tackles. And you were sending a gelling new set of wide receivers against one of the best defensive back cores. All I'm saying is I get being down. You got your butts whooped. I understand it. You want to be competitive. But the situation and in the context you were in, Rashad, I'm saying if you're running to slam the eject button right now, it's premature. That's it from me.
Agree. I would agree. And I fully agree with your comment about the Saints defense. They are really good. That's a tough defense, right? So that's a challenge. However, at the same time, there were some throws that need to be completed, right? There's some throws, some interceptions that don't need to be thrown. So I agree. Again, Bryce has to step it up. Can we turn it around? Absolutely. There's still time. It's not over, right? The season is not over. We just want to see progress. The bar is extremely low for Canales and the Panthers. Let's just get it right. Let's just be competitive and be in a game. That's all we're asking. And hopefully that turns around, man. I hope that they took this to heart. I hope that there's some dog in there. I hope that they turn it around. But that was not a great way to start the season. I'm hopeful. That's all I have is hope.
Here's my thought. You got the Chargers coming to town, ran the hell out of the football last week. You lose Derek Brown. That's obviously a blow. We all know what that does to the defense. But this is a team in San Diego that does not want to turn it loose. They don't want this thing to turn into a 42-35 track meet. They want to run the ball and pace it. I think that's good for you guys, right? I'll tell you what I'm looking for. Yeah, consistency and better out of Bryce Young. Bro, just come out and punch some people in the mouth. Just come out and show, like you just said, come out and show me you got that dog, and then we'll work on cleaning up the X's and O's after that. But if I look at a team that looks dispirited, disinterested, and it gets pushed around early in this one, that's where I'll check out.
Yeah, Derek Brown's a major loss, best player on the team, in my opinion. Sure. So that run defense is going to be problematic, and the Chargers, like you said, do like to run the football. One thing that you mentioned is absolutely correct. The Panthers need to turn and lean on that run game. Right. That's one thing we could not do last week because the game just got out of control too fast. I think Canales wants to run the football. We didn't get an opportunity to do so. If we can get that run game going and not put so much on Bryce, maybe things will be better. But that's the biggest change I want to see from last week. Get us 30 runs, 30 rush attempts. Chuba, Miles Sanders. Let's run the football. Let's make it competitive and allow Bryce to kind of put that cherry on the top. But we'll see. We'll see.
Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, find them on YouTube. Click subscribe. Make sure you're in there. Rashad and the boys go live all the time. They got expert opinions and analysis you're not finding from anybody else in the game. Rashad, who dat?
Yeah, you got it, man. Yeah, you got it. Until next time. Hopefully when they come to the bank, things will change. But there's nothing I can say. We are definitely not that, for sure.
I'll see you at BOA. I'm feeling good about round two.
Thank you for sparing me, because you could have definitely went. You could have definitely talked way more. So thank you. I appreciate that.
I felt bad enough for you.
Come on. I'm disappointed. I mean, because Rashad's not going to hold back if it's the opposite.
I'm not. This is be prepared.
What do I need to do? All I got to do is say 47-10 and leave the room. I can't do worse than that. 47-10. See you next week, big dog.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Rashad Beard, Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday at 8:40 here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Lonzo reads you a sports flash at the end of every hour on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
It's very exciting. As baseball's postseason inches closer, the Atlanta Braves find themselves fighting with the New York Mets for the final wild card spot after a 5-1 loss to the Washington Nationals yesterday. Atlanta is currently one game behind New York, and after an off day today, will start a 4-game set with the league-leading Dodgers. Former South Carolina Gamecock Aja Wilson has etched her name in the WNBA history books again, setting the league single-season scoring record and 86-75 win over the Indiana Fever last night. Wilson ended the game with 27 points and is now just 44 points away from becoming the league's first 1,000-point scorer. Make sure you tune in tonight, yes, tonight, at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Greer to take on the Yellow Jackets. Also tune in Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Stetson Hatters. Right here on your home for both Furman football and Burns football, you guessed it, it's us, the Fan Upstate.